Now, the burial is intended to take place as soon as possible. And the idea here, again for the sake of the mourner, is that the mourner cannot truly begin to mourn until the body is buried. And in fact, in Jewish law, you don't become a mourner when somebody dies. You become a mourner, you become an avel, after they've been buried. The period between the time of somebody dying and the time of the burial, you are considered in Jewish law an onain. It comes from the word ay, or ein, which means nothing. That you are considered to be so disoriented in that period that, for example, you're under no obligation to pray. You know, you don't have to, you know, come to services, because it's just assumed that your head is, you know, too mevubal, too, you know, you're too mixed up, you're too scattered to be able to do anything that requires kavanah, that requires conscious intentionality. So you're not obligated to come and, you know, come to a prayer service, put on tefillin and things like that. The idea is that you can't be consoled or comforted then, which is why there's no point in rushing over to talk to people who just lost a relative. There's nothing real that you can say. There might be some practical things that you can do and call a kavod, but you're not going to be very effective in terms of comforting them, because they're nowhere then. Right? It's going to take longer for them to process the experience. And that's why when I do a funeral, we come to the cemetery, you take the coffin to the grave, we lower the coffin, we cover the coffin, then I'll give my eulogy. All right? There's no point in trying to do it when the coffin's sitting there in front of you. They're not going to be able to hear what's being said. So, there is a law that the body should never be left alone between the time of death and burial. And of course, there are the classic practical reasons of, you know, grave robbers and all the rest of that. But it is more than that. It is not just the fear of bad things that could happen, but rather it's the act of respect. We are going to accompany this body to its final resting place. And it's out of respect for what this body did as the holder of the soul of the deceased, it is going to be afforded this respect that we will be with it. So there are shomrim, there are guardians that are part of the Chevra Kedisha that are watching over the body. Right. The Chevra Kedisha, everybody uses the words, does anybody think about it? The Chevra is a society. Kedisha comes from Kadosh, holy. They are the holy society. Think about it, of all the groups that you could call a holy society, you know, the ones that give money to tzedakah, the ones that study, the ones that daven all the time, the ones that make the minyan, none of them are the Chevra Kedisha. The ones that do the body, that's the Chevra Kedisha. That's the holy society. It gives an example of, like, how high up on the priority list Kibud HaMeit is. All the way up on the list. If you want to be in the holy society, that's what you need to do, is to take care of dead bodies. But it tells us so much about how much the community is prepared to offer in order to do the right thing vis-a-vis our dead. And how much that is intended to alleviate any anxiety we have when we know, so to speak, that our most holy people are doing this. If you can get yourself to do it, it is an extraordinary experience, and I highly recommend it to you. I mean, obviously, there's some big thresholds to cross, but if you can cross them, it's a very, very powerful thing to do. Yeah.
At the same time, because these people have handled with their body, they become ritually impure.
And they become ritually impure. Which goes to show you how ritual impurity is not related to something that's dirty or ugly or negative. It is something is related to something that is psychologically powerful and gut-wrenching. All right? That's what ritual impurity is in fact all about. You know, in the ancient world, they would very definitely be going to the mikveh and a special ceremony specifically to deal with that kind of impurity. That is a necessary step in the coming of the Messiah, in fact, is to, you know, to have the red heifer that you can then sacrifice, burn, get the ashes, prepare this ritual so that you can then purify people that have had contact with the dead body. That's all necessary in order to reestablish the temple. Because, yes, it is, in a nutshell, the sense of our living an unredeemed life that we have to deal with death.